All right, welcome back to the program. As far as I know, Big Boy Tuesdays will be continuing this football season. That means Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal Tuesdays, as per usual.
Oh, boy.
So consider this a training camp version of Big Boy Tuesdays. So I've been told we have the big boy now on some sort of connection. This isn't, you haven't called us on a landline? How are you reaching us here, Greg?
Okay. I have no idea. Supposedly I'm on Zoom. I don't know. Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we can do both. It actually works. How about this?
So on the radio side, there's Greg Bedard on the Zoom. How come his camera's already better than mine?
Because you're a cheap.
Because you have no idea what you're doing with technology, Felger.
There it is. I paid for this thing. I bought a new camera. This is a new HD camera that I put up here. It still sucks.
Yeah, from like 1995?
Well, whatever.
You got to pay for better internet.
I did already.
Liar.
God damn it. That's so freaking annoying. I feel like throwing something. I've paid for better internet. I bought a camera. God dang it. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
That's so annoying. Your buddy now. See, now he's on a delay. I'd rather have him on the landline. Never mind. Greg, how has Cam Newton looked this camp? Give us an honest assessment. How has he looked?
He's been fine. I wouldn't say anything more than that. I mean, look, what you have to understand is Cam Newton, especially right now, early in this Patriots offense, he's never going to win a 7-on-7 battle. It's just not going to happen. Both with the weapons, a lot of them are sort of new. Him being new in the offense, they're never going to be able to line up in, say, a third down session, which we saw a lot the first week, and win going up and down the field. They're just not there yet. You know, when you talk about Cam in this offense, it's got to be a ground-based offense. He has to do his thing as far as being a multidimensional weapon, and then that helps open up the passing game. It helps him be a better player. And so I think they're going to be okay, but it is definitely going to be a work in progress.
Okay, so but you're talking about him and the fit in the offense. I'm talking about him. How does he look? How does the ball come out of his hand? Is he accurate? How has he looked?
I'll tell you, I've been looking at that closely because he does have the shoulder issue. Some people think it's a chronic shoulder issue. I know Zoe brought up the stuff about his mechanics, but I think he's looked pretty good. He's thrown the ball pretty good. I know you read a couple days ago about me criticizing that he hasn't aired it out. He has aired it out more in the past couple days, including today. It was a play, you know, they were running sort of like a scout team, a look team for the defense, but he threw a nice sideline deep pass to J.J. Taylor, the undrafted running back. It was a really nice pass. He has thrown the ball well, short, medium, and long. His mechanics are never going to be a Picasso. They just aren't. He has a weird stride. His shoulder motion, his elbow is lower than his shoulder. It's very unorthodox, but that's the way he's always thrown. There are going to be passes where he tries to uncork it, and his top half of his body's going towards the sideline. His head's going, you know, in a different direction. It's not going to look pretty, but he's thrown the ball fine. It's just, you know, is he going to be able to execute the offense, when it comes time for the season opener?
So as it relates to the offense then, Greg, because you know Mike Giardi says they're already incorporating things that Newton did in Carolina, are you seeing some of those same kinds of changes? Are they starting to tailor this for him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard some of your discussion before this. And, you know, what you guys have to understand is
– Educate me.
And this is – say that again?
I said educate me.
Yeah, okay. I will. This – whatever you see – say the Patriots run the wishbone offense or whatever. None of it is a departure from what they do. Like basically the way it was explained to me was that 75% of the offense is set. It's in the playbook. It's sound. It's tried and true over years. 25% of it is game plan wrinkles for that specific opponent who the Patriots have on the field. So yes, Cam Newton might run read option or whatever, but that is in the playbook. The play is in the playbook. How they get to the play is a little bit different, but it's not a big departure for Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. It's just much like when Jacoby Brissett, the offense that they ran for him on 4 days, you know, that was a Thursday night game against the Texans, that they were able to incorporate it because it's in the playbook. So it's not a big departure. Yes, it's going to look different. And I can tell you, and I wrote about this all on Saturday. So if you want to know exactly what's going on with this offense, read what I wrote on Saturday. which is this is going to be bully ball. The Patriots are very excited about what they are building from the offensive line to the fullback. The tight ends will see, even N'Keal Harry, Cam Newton behind center. These guys, they are going to be physical. They are going to be tough. That's going to be the persona of this offense. And then the passing game comes off that.
Do you like that approach? Oh, you probably do. Why am I even asking that? Do you think I mean, I know how you feel about it. Do you think that's the right approach in today's NFL?
Well, that's a different question. And that's a good question. And we'll see because, look, the Patriots can think they're tough as hell as much as they want. But at some point in time, they might be down 10 points. And how are they going to do? And I could tell you right now, from being out of practice, I don't think they're going to do very well if they fall behind. But, you know, I do think this is where they have to be right now. And you'll have the argument with Brady or Stidham or whatever, and maybe it's valid. But where they are right now, I could tell you, I think the offensive line has looked tremendous. Even Illuminor, as part of the mix for Cannon, has looked really good. Jakob Johnson looks like a freaking bull going through there. He looks like an upgrade over James Devlin to me. And Damian Harris, I'm sure we'll talk about him. That kid looks sensational. And so you combine that with what Cam, the way defenses have to account for Cam in every single play, then all of a sudden you have the makings of an offense that can be consistent and put up points. But, you know, I think it's going to be a work in progress.
No, it's good. They get the power sweep, the Green Bay power sweep going. That's what it's going to be. Take us back to the 60s. Ground and pound.
Greg Bedard joins with the Boston Sports Journal on Zoom. I guess it helps with the visual if you like looking at Greg. I do appreciate you did have a good landline, but be that as it may, who am I to talk with my crap-ass technology? Are you concerned? Do you think the team is concerned about Jared Stidham?
Yep. Oh.
Go ahead.
Hang on one second.
Oh, God.
Amazing lead in. Little audio problem. Hang on.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a glitch. I fully expect that.
Pick up the phone. Yeah. Pick up the phone and call us, and you can still keep the Zoom. How's that?
That's fine. But where I think they are as far as Stidham goes, they are disappointed in the way that he has he didn't grab hold of it even before the injury. And the injury itself is just it's a problem. It's a soft tissue thing. And you cannot do that if you're 24 years old and trying to win the starting quarterback job for the Patriots after Tom Brady.
Do you believe that there was a time this offseason that they felt he was the guy? And they were disabused of that notion at some point in the offseason, and that's why Cam Newton is here.
No, I've never believed that, and you guys know I never believed that. I was told, remember, we'll go back. Early January, I asked people who would know what they thought of Stidham because I didn't know what was going to happen with Brady. And their response was, he's in a good place. He did a good job as a rookie. He's where Jimmy was after year one, which is it's too early for him. And we don't know. And I think they were there the whole offseason. I think the plan was first it was Brady. Then at some point they would grab whatever veteran didn't have a chair at the end of the day. And then there would be a competition. And I think there was a competition to start this camp. I thought Stidham was the better quarterback the first 2 days, but then he tapped out.
So, Greg, the fact that he is where he is now, do you think they still have the same? Because to me, the real question with Stidham is about the long term, not the short. Has this altered their long term perspective on Stidham?
No. I mean, I do think right now he's in a battle with Hoyer for the backup job. But as far as the long term prospects, can he be a starter? I think they're in the same place that they have been. He has promise. It's very rare. I mean, look, what was the guy? A fourth round pick? You know, it's very rare for a guy to be ready to be a starter, even in, look at Aaron Rodgers. He was year four. It took him to start. And so he's fine where he is in part of the process. He's only in his second season. I think really, ideally, maybe next year he's ready to compete for a job. And I don't think they've lost confidence in Stidham as far as that goes.
The more I think of it, the more I hate their plan. So the plan was just to wait to see who shook free, who gave him the best contract. I mean, you're picking the best player or the best contract. And then, oh, by the way, I know there was a pandemic, but you're doing it at the end of June. Meanwhile, you know, Tom Brady signs day one, and it feels like day two, he's in Byron Leftwich's living room, you know, picking up a playbook, getting ready to go from day one. Meanwhile, the Patriots start last. Now they have to change what they do because the style of the quarterback they ended up with, who gave them the good deal, has, you know, necessitates a whole new sort of game plan, a whole new approach, and they're coming at it late. And, you know, like I said, they'll probably land on their feet. They usually do. But I think the plan sucks, Greg. How's that? Their plan blows.
I mean, you might be right, but the proof is going to be in the pudding. I mean, look, this is a defensive-based team that's going to be ground-based on offense. And, you know, a healthy Cam Newton, internally, they're excited about Cam and what he can do in the multidimensional stuff. And look, you know, you have Bill Belichick, who's the greatest defensive mind ever, and he's sitting around there, and whatever Josh McDaniels is toying with doing, Bill's sitting back there and going, yeah, that's going to be a problem for the defense. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for the defense. Like, they're going to attack the rules and deficiency of every defense they come across with Cam. And I could tell you there's a lot of optimism in the building about that.
Okay. So here's a training camp edition of Big Boy Tuesday. This is our first initial one. He's trying out new technology. I'd give it a C+ so far, which, you know, for me is actually pretty good. So in terms of true training camp big boy stuff, Maz, that means we have to do three up, three down, and we have to do 10 questions, right? We got to roll through. We got to get our reps in.
Okay, now I haven't been at camp, but can I participate in both?
Yes, of course.
All right, good.
Sure, okay. What's the difference? You talk out of your rear end anyway.
That's
so
true. Yes, yeah.
Now.
Yeah, and you talk out of both of yours.
Okay, here comes Maz and Bedard out of both ends. Three up, three down, right
back
after McCarthy's update. Don't go anywhere.
Boston Bruins playoff coverage on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Bruins Radio Network is presented by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your family and small business. Ask your independent agent about safety.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No. It's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, training camp edition. Bedard's been down there. Maz hasn't been down there for like 15 years, but he's going to chime in.
Yep.
Okay, Bedard, how's your access been?
I have been there all but one day.
Ah, so they've let you in.
They have let me in. I only missed a Shells day, so if I was going to miss a day, that was a good one.
Okay, well, here we go. So then he knows what he's talking about.
Big boy's happy.
Here we go. Three up. Number one stud from training camp so far. Who is it?
Damian Harris. The kid has been absolutely sensational. I mean, he's not very big. I think he's listed at like 5'11", 220. He plays about, actually, I think less than that. He plays about 225, 230. He plays big. He's physical. He makes some cuts in his vision that I haven't seen in some time. Certainly, to me, he is an upgrade over Sony Michel, and he is a dynamite pass catcher out of the backfield. It's very natural to him. It's not like he's fighting it. He doesn't look scared to have somebody rip his head off like Michelle looks sometimes. So to me, Damian Harris has been the clear breakout star of this camp. And I think he is the number one running back by far going into this season.
Yeah, nice. This one's a runaway, right? It's Damian. I mean Saquon Barkley. I mean Damian Harris is what I meant. With all the crap that I've been reading about this guy, like, he better be good. And it's a good thing they kept him on the bench all last year since they looked so great this camp. But I'm going to guess, Greg, that people like you are going to tell me he looks like a different player, which is fine, but it's easily Harris.
Yeah, he does look like a different player, but I don't want to overdo it. And there, you know, there obviously was a problem last year if he never got on the field when they weren't exactly running the ball like, you know, the 72 Dolphins.
Second stud.
Devin Ross, the wide receiver. It's tempting for people to say he's sort of like the flash in the can, whether it's, you know, Jacoby Myers last year. But I'm telling you, there is real enthusiasm about this kid. Privately, the defensive backs rave about his speed, his quickness, and also he's very, very smart. He studies all the time. This kid is going to be a real contributor to this offense.
I got Dietrich. I got Dietrich Wise there as number two. From what I understand, he's bulked up. He's bigger. He's better, which is great because when the regular, he better get it in now because when the regular season starts, he's either going to be cut or he's going to suck.
Third star there, Greg.
Gunnar Olszewski. This was a kid who, a year ago, he didn't look like an NFL player physically. You know, and he you know barely made the team. They needed a punt returner. He looks like a completely different player this year. I don't know what he was doing in the offseason, but he just looks completely different. He's thick. He's strong. He's still fast. He looks like Danny Amendola out there. He really does. He looks like a seven-year pro in terms of his body, and he's another kid who is going to be a real contributor. This is not Patriots fanboy hype. This is real on Gunnar and Devin Ross.
I will say he does look like Amendola in that uni. There's no question about that. As an aside, I went J.C. Jackson, Greg. From what I understand, Jackson's at a good camp. Another guy to me that will never fully live up to the hype. Everybody's always raving about J.C. Jackson, but from what I gather, he's been pretty good.
Three duds. Give it to me.
Yadni Kajust, the right tackle. This is a kid who was hurt all of last year. When we first got a glimpse of him on the practice field, this training camp, the kid looks like an Adonis. He looks like if you're drawing up an NFL tackle, it would be Kajust. He's long, he's big, he's strong. He could not play when he was out there. The coaches were all over him. He struggled in one-on-ones, and now, I don't know, we haven't seen him in three or four practices. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get the Foxborough flu or what, but that's a disappointment because I thought he was gonna compete for that right tackle job, and it just hasn't happened.
So I went Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham. It's the biggest competition maybe in the league, for crying out loud, with all the jobs that are at stake. And he can't stay on the field because of an injury, you know, to his hip at age 24. To me, Stidham's the biggest disappointment in camp.
Number two, Greg.
Bo Allen. You know, the Patriots didn't sign many free agents. And actually, you could put Adrian Phillips in here, too. You know, they're basically their two, quote-unquote, marquee free agent signings. And Bo Allen has not been heard from. I got Lawrence Guy to say yes, that he sees him every day. But he has not been on the practice field. They need a defensive tackle now that Danny Shelton's in Detroit. And Bo Allen has not been on the field. Not that defensive tackles have a ton to learn. But it would be nice to see him out there. Before the season over, and Phillips, you know, same way. I thought he was going to be an immediate impactful guy at safety. He was sort of in the background, a depth guy, and he's also missed multiple practices here of late.
See, I'll let you focus on the interior fat guys, Greg. You do those on your own time. My number two dud, Justin Rohrwasser. So, Greg, just make sure that when the next time you see him on the field, make sure he knows that the kick is supposed to go between the poles. Between the poles, not outside them. Right. They're supposed to be between the two yellow poles.
Stay out of the dumper when he's kicking there, Greg. Who's your third dud?
My third dud is a group, the edge rushers. I have not seen much out of them. They are fine when they are allowed to scheme things up and they're working off each other, you know, the whole, you know, stunts and twists and all that stuff, how they've gotten pressure the last couple of years. That's really the only way they get pressure. When they go one-on-one with these offensive tackles, and none of them, I would say, you know, are all pros or anything like that, they're getting completely stuffed. You know, and so this goes for Shalik Calhoun, John Simon, Chase Winovich, Uche, when he's out there, they don't show a lot of juice as far as outside pass rush, and they're going to have to scheme up everything, in my opinion.
So I went Mohamed Sanu. I think the guy's useless. Everybody that sees him says he's showing absolutely nothing. So what's Sanu? Nothing. He still sucks. That's what's Sanu. He sucks. So and sadly, I think he's still going to be on the roster. But to me, from everything I've read, he's had an awful camp.
Okay, it's a preseason edition of the Big Boy. We just did three up, three down. We got to do a preseason rep of 10 questions. That comes your way next in our long commercial-free segment. And then I promise we will get to your calls. So go nowhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by SwingJuice.com, a fun golf-inspired t-shirt brand for those who don't take themselves too seriously. Check them out at SwingJuice.com. Get 25% off your order with promo code SportsHub25.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, training camp edition. We got to be quick, Bedard. 10 questions, less than 10 minutes based on your impressions so far at training camp. We have some new buzzer options, I hear. Go ahead, Jimmy. What do we got?
It pays to suck. Suck in programming, suck on the field, suck competitively. We make money.
Excellent. Number two.
$5 foot long.
It's Bill's Subway commercial, obviously, next.
They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They had never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy.
It's a Dutch version of Felger and Maz. Thank you very much. Next.
We go easy on him. We have a star. We.
That's soft-ass Bruins fans not wanting us to criticize Pastrnak. Go. Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. On a or re-entry Monday. Whatever day it is. My horrible connection. What else?
Maz, pronounce it for you.
Epidemiologist. That's great when we do that on the air. Is that it?
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Nice. This is the last one.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Thank you. Okay.
There we go. This is the one we want.
All right. Hit whatever one you want. Go.
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Okay, number 10. Who will be the Patriots' leading receiver this year, Greg?
I was tempted to go with Edelman, but I am going with James White because I have a feeling that it could be Captain Checkdown Cam.
I also went James White. I'm serious. I have James White. I think it's going to be that kind of year.
Okay, that's a bad sign. Next one, Jimmy.
$5 foot long.
Number 9, who will be the 5 receivers to make the team? And if you get 6, give me 6. What receivers make the team? Who gets cut?
I do think it's 6. And in order, I have Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Demir Byrd, Devin Ross, Gunnar Olszewski, and Jakobi Meyers. No Mohamed Sanu.
Ooh. Okay, so let's just spend a second on that. How has Harry looked?
Harry's been, fine. There was a lot of criticism about him on, I think it was Sunday's practice when he sort of tapped out. I have been told that I think there's been an illness going through the team. I think he might have had it. I think that was an explanation for Sunday, because that was his first game back or first practice back. He was better yesterday. He was decent today. I know you guys have been talking about it. I do know that Cam Newton has taken an interest in N'Keal Harry. He's really in Harry's ear. Cam sees him as similar to him at the receiver position, where he wants him to play. Don't try to be Julian Edelman. Try to be a power forward. You're a power forward. Go be a power forward. So that is happening.
Sarah, hold on a second. Tell me why it's Meyers and not Sanu.
Sanu just doesn't have anything. He's been better the past couple days, and it almost seems like they're. They're trying to cheer him on. And look, at the end of the day, it's Bill's decision. And Bill might be like, he's from Rutgers. We're keeping him. So who knows? But I don't see why you would want to keep him. I mean, between Jakobi Meyers and Mohamed Sanu, you're talking about a difference of $6 million. And Jakobi can get open more. I mean, there were stretches early in training camp, probably the first 5 or 6 practices, where you were like, is Sanu on the field? Because no one's throwing to him because he can't get open.
Okay, next, Jimmy. Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. On a re-entry Monday. The whole package there. What day is it? Horrible connection, stuttering and stumbling all over the place. Number 8, who's going to be their top tight end?
Right now it's Devin Asiasi, but He did get hurt today. Okay. He stayed on the field, but that's something to monitor. It was his right foot. He didn't look great, but I could tell you they are trying to make that happen, and they're happy with where he is.
Assy.
So is that a bad sign that he's going to be your best tight end?
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather have a veteran option, and Izzo's fine. I mean, I think Izzo's going to be in the mix. He's been better this year. He's still, you know, Ryan Izzo, and he has a limited ceiling, but he's fine. He's probably the best all-around tight end they have right now, but Asiasi has the most upside as a receiver, no question.
Next.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Okay, I was going to ask you who is going to be their leading rusher, but we just heard your glowing report on Damian Harris, so I'm going to assume that that's your leader in the clubhouse. So let
Saquon,
me ask you,
yeah, Saquon Barkley.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Sony Michel?
Well, I think he's going to be on the team. I mean, you know, when they got Lamar Miller, who we haven't seen yet, they're both still on pup. I don't know if they're just running together on a backfield or whatever, but you know, I thought it was maybe sending a signal to the other running backs, and maybe it did. But the way it was explained to me is that it was a depth move, and they think that more than ever, and we all know how the Patriots love their quality depth, but more than ever this year with COVID, quality veteran depth is going to be important, and they see that at, you know, running back. So I think Sony is here, but you know, when you see Damian Harris play, he's everything that you wanted Sony Michel to be. And Sony's just not that guy.
Next.
They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy.
Number six. Impressions of Justin Warwasser.
Shaky. Body language isn't good. He doesn't look confident.
Give me an example of bad body language by the kicker, please.
He just looks unsure of himself. Like when he lines up, like, you know, there are some guys, I mean, even Nick Folk gets up there and you're just like, all right, this is a professional kicker who is like, I'm going to nail it down the uprights, which he's done for the most part when he's been here. And you just don't get that from Warwasser. Right now, it doesn't look like he has much of a clue of where the ball is going to go. And that's never a good thing.
Yeah, no,
it's
clearly.
Like Maz off the tee.
Yeah, no, clearly. I mean, if you go in to take a dump, keep your head up and strap yourself in because you don't know what's coming in. Like, so watch out in the porta potties.
Apparently, he shanked him into the porta potties the other day. And so this is why. This is the running joke of be careful when you go caca at Gillette because you never know.
Hold on with both hands
when there's incoming. We're halfway through and now we're at the top of the hour. So, Greg, you got to give us 5 extra minutes on the other side of the hour, okay? Okay. Here comes McCarthy. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we pick this up with the big boy. Don't go anywhere.
DraftKings is giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who'll take home $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, download the app and sign up using the promo code SportsHub. Then enter DraftKings' free football survivor pool. Yes, it's that easy. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SportsHub to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and get in the running for the $1 million cash prize. Promo code SportsHub, only at DraftKings.
Terms and conditions. Here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank, you are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. If you're just joining us, or picking up the second hour on the podcast, where you can get on 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, doing a training camp edition of his Tuesday stint, which will come your way during the regular season as well. So last hour, we started the 10 questions. We're going to wrap them up here. Okay, we've got 5 to go. Jimmy, hit me a button.
It pays to suck. Suck in programming, suck on the field, suck competitively, we make money.
Okay, our first tool bag question of the season. Very simply put, who's been the biggest tool bag in the NFL in training camp so far?
Whoever decided to implement these media rules for training camp for NFL, that NFL teams have to follow. They're a bunch of morons. And it's not the Patriots' fault. That there's no reason. What happened is that we're all in a tier that is about, I think there's like 100 people that can go a day, and included in the media allotment is like the Patriots sending their scouts or like security or medical personnel, where there is limitless space outside to be a practice. There's no reason why the media should be limited at all in terms of how they can view practice.
Can I give you someone as a candidate as well here?
Please.
I want to go with that clown in Seattle who tried to sneak the woman into the team hotel and got himself cut as a result. I can't pronounce the guy's name. Is it Kima Sibirand? Does that sound right? Talk about an asshat move that got you to lose your job. What a mistake.
How about Earl Thomas? Is he a tool bag, and should the Patriots be interested in that tool bag?
He is a tool bag. The Patriots should not be interested in him after their Antonio Brown experience. This guy, Earl Thomas, just shot his way out of two teams, just like Antonio Brown did. And he's not that good anymore. At least Antonio Brown was good, and you could risk that. Thomas isn't good. They don't need him. They have enough safeties. No way.
Next.
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Number four, who's been the Patriots' best defensive player at camp?
You're going to love this one, but it's Lawrence Guy.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Of course.
I'm sorry I asked that.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
You walked right into that one, Felger. He has been, and he better be, because he's the only big fat guy in the middle of the line that can play right now. So he's been awesome. He either wins his one-on-one reps, or him and Shaq Mason go to draws. And he's dominating against the run. He's phenomenal. And the Patriots just gave him a raise, and they should have. Guy is tremendous.
How's Duggar been?
Greg?
What'd you say?
How's Duggar been?
He's been fine. I mean, he gets his hands on passes. Another guy who hasn't been out there in days. He's been doing a lot of watching. So it looks like, at this point in time, you cannot miss these reps in practice. I mean, there will be time about 10 days once the media can't watch practice anymore. So maybe they can get him up to speed. But right now, he looks like a matchup guy at safety, which is what we thought going into the year if Chung was here. But you thought with Chung gone, he might grab more of a role. He has not done that.
Number three, Jimmy, please. We go easy on him. We have a star. We. Okay, Stephon Gilmore returned today after missing, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. There was some thought that maybe it was contract related. Apparently it is not, or was not contract related. My question to you, Greg, is should it have been? Does Stephon Gilmore have a case for a new contract?
He has a case for a new contract, but not to hold out. I mean, he's got this year and one more year left on his deal. He's still, I think his average per year is $13 million, which is still up there as far as cornerbacks. I mean, the big thing is he doesn't have any guaranteed money, which you think the Patriots might do at some point, and they still might do that. But I don't think he needs a new contract. He's making over $10 million each of the next two seasons. That's pretty good.
I mean, to me, sadly, and I'm not typically someone who encourages holdouts, except in the NFL. I think in that league, it's the only way the teams have all the leverage, or at least the large majority of it. If I'm Gilmore and I'm happy with my contract, I'd have done it.
Number two, Jimmy.
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Number two, give me a prediction, big boy, for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I have them second in the NFC South. And I guess record-wise, I'd put them probably that would be like 10-6, 11-5. It should be enough to get them into the playoffs with one extra spot. But I don't expect them to make a deep postseason run. I see this very similar to Peyton Manning's first year in Denver. It took them to 2 years to get into a Super Bowl and 3 years to win it. I see it very similar. It's very tough.
Why?
Because it's very tough to go someplace new and win in the first year. I mean, and even Peyton had a better situation in terms of the offense tailoring to him, the weapons, the defense was really good, and Peyton couldn't win one for a while. So I just I'm not the biggest Arians fan. I like his offense for certain quarterbacks. I don't like the fit there. There's a lot of pieces to fit together. They won't get hot until the second half of the season, and I think it'll be too late for them to go on a run.
Wow. You don't think all the work Brady's put in and his focus and his drive is just going to – he's just going to light it up?
I mean, that's great and all, but he still has to know what his receivers are doing every single time, and I don't think that's going to happen, and I think their defense is a little bit overrated, and I think that Arians doesn't run a tight enough ship. Something will go wrong there.
12-4 NFC Championship game.
Okay, number one, Jimmy.
$5 foot long.
Do you, Greg, still have the Patriots over the Bills to win the division? Because I think before the opt-outs, that's what you had. You had the Patriots still as the most talented team in the division and winning the division over Buffalo. Do you feel that way after the opt-outs and after now, what is it, 2 weeks of training camp?
It's very – it's obviously closer after the opt-outs. I still have the Patriots a slight AFC East champion edge. I just think that – I think that Cam's a difference maker, and I just don't believe in the quarterback, Josh Allen, in Buffalo. I mean, I just look back. You know, in their two games last year against the Patriots, first of all, the one up there, Tom Brady played like complete dog crap in that game, and the Bills still couldn't win that game. So – If Brady was bad last year, Newton just needs to be okay, and he'd be better than what Brady was up there. In the two games that they played against Buffalo, Buffalo was a combined 4-for-24 on third down, and that ain't changed. I mean, Stephon Diggs is going to help a little bit, but you put Gilmore or J.C. Jackson or Jonathan Jones, whatever, double him, forget it. It's not going to improve that much.
I don't have the Pats over the Bills, but I don't have the Bills either. Honestly, I wouldn't touch this division with a 10-foot pole. I just think the Newton factor makes everything so unpredictable. I have no idea what he's going to be. I'm not counting the Patriots out, but I don't think they're a slam dunk either.
Okay, Greg, before we let you go, why is Bill still propagating this myth of a quarterback competition? I mean, I get why you would do it to start. I was rooting for it. I was hoping for it. I wanted it both for the content and just for the – I think it's probably best for the team to get the most out of both players and pick the best guy. Like, that's what's best. That's what you want. So I understand why he did it to start. Now it's clear that Cam Newton is the guy. I mean, you were there today, right? Like, didn't he get all the reps today?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So why is Bill still going on with the competition thing?
You know why he's still saying that there's a competition.
Why?
Because this is what he does. I mean – his whole program is about competition and the best guy's going to win and all that. And he doesn't want to give, you know, let's just say this. Cam Newton hasn't grabbed the quarterback position, you know, to this point, I wouldn't say. You know, I wouldn't say he's gone out and won it. It's almost been by default. I mean, Stidham had to tap out. What are they supposed to do? I mean, yes, and they see a path forward where they can compete more. But until Cam is able to put things together. Like, for example, it looked to me like Monday, yesterday's practice, Belichick told the coaches to lay off, don't coach during plays. Let's see where we are in terms of the offense. And the defense completely whipped the offense. I mean, they couldn't block them. They couldn't see where the blitzes were coming from. So why would you ever, with the offense in that current state, why would you ever say, well, Cam Newton's the guy? Like, they have much further to go. Don't give anybody an inch. Make Cam think that he's still competing, even though everyone knows he's not. I mean, look, Julian Edelman just posted today, you know, a picture of him and Cam Newton. Everybody knows it's over, but, you know, Bill's going to be Bill.
Is it annoying, Mass?
I mean, at this stage, I find it annoying because it's so clearly obvious that there's no one else that can run the team. I mean, I know you believe in Hoyer. And I shouldn't say Hoyer can't run it. He can certainly run the offense. I just don't think he can do it well. And so, to me, you know, Bill's going out of his way at this stage to try to tell everybody there's a competition when we all know there isn't. Stidham's out. It's over.
Oh, my God. The social media thing is Superman and Batman. Who is Edelman?
Batman.
Oh, God. I have no use for this.
Come on, Felger. It's going to be awesome. Batman and Robin.
Freaking corny. I mean, my God. Yeah, Greg, close your eyes. Take out reputation, contract, age, history. Just, you know, when I say close your eyes, just focus in a vacuum on what you've seen the 2 weeks down in Foxborough. Who's been the Patriots' best quarterback in their offense so far at training camp?
Brian Hoyer.
Should he start based on that?
No, because there's no point in doing that.
Why? Winning a game. What do you mean? But the point is,
well, I mean, like, look, I mean, he's going to – they have to move in a certain direction. Like, it's not where you are week one. It's where you're going to be week 16, 17, 18, 19. So what's the point in running, you know, Brian Hoyer out there when you need the reps and you need the practice to get where you are by the end of the season? So I think that's where they are.
Okay, Greg, go pick that up.
Sorry.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, big fella.
See you, big boy.
Anytime, guys.
Okay, Greg Bedard, give him a read on Boston Sports Journal. Give him a subscription on Boston Sports Journal's Patriots coverage is well worth it. And never mind all the other stuff you get on that website. He'll be joining us every Tuesday throughout the preseason, throughout the regular season. So that was a training camp edition of the big boy. You've been lined up. You want to talk Patriots? Okay, we'll get to you.